It's the morning show. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking about paid time off, specifically the lack of requirements that employees provide any. Without laws requiring it, about a quarter of Americans don't have paid vacation or paid holidays off. That's according to a report from the think tank Center for Economic and Policy Research. So let's talk about it. Do you have any paid time off? How much vacation time or sick days do you get? And is that enough? What happens when you run out of paid time off, but you still have to be away from work? Tell us your story at 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Diane Bierstecker is president of Human Resources Consulting, LLC. She provides HR support for small and medium-sized businesses, and she's based in Green Bay. Diane, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Let's start with some of the basics. Does a Wisconsin employer have to offer vacation benefits or paid time off to people who work there?
They do not. It's a discretionary benefit at the employer's choice.
And do people realize that?
A lot of employees think that it's guaranteed because it is so common in the workplace to have both paid holidays and paid vacations. But that's a fallacy. It's not required under federal law or state law. But in today's very competitive labor market, most employers do offer those benefits and some other paid time off opportunities as well.
So that's one of the reasons we think of it as a common opportunity.
Correct. It's very common for full-time employees to be offered that as a benefit in addition to the other elements of their overall compensation package.
So it's a choice, and if an employer decides to provide paid time off for vacation, are there policies they have to follow then? Are there any laws regulating that if they've made the decision to go ahead?
The only requirement is that once you establish a paid time off benefit, whether it's vacation, holiday, bereavement, whatever you decide to offer your employees, is that you must follow it until you change it. So, for example, an employer may establish a certain vacation schedule, 1 week after 1 year, 2 weeks after 3 years, et cetera. And perhaps due to hard times or financial difficulties, they may decide they need to cut back on their vacation policy. They're required to be sure to pay out whatever was earned under the old policy, but they do have the option to make changes going forward. So really the only requirement is that you follow the program or the benefit that you've told your employees they're entitled to.
Wow. So employers could change that at any time, as long as they make good, I guess, on the previous policy.
That is correct.
We're talking with Diane Bierstecker. She is based in Green Bay and has consulted with human resources, different companies to help them figure out how to handle vacation time and other issues, usually small and mid-sized companies. And we're wondering, you know, do you agree with the laws that we have in place as we're finding out that businesses don't have a requirement to offer paid time off? Maybe you own one of those businesses or you manage people. How do you handle paid time off? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Diane, you've started, helped grow previous human resources departments. How might a business decide how much sick leave or vacation time to give employees?
Well, you want to make sure that you're competitive in the labor market in which you operate. So if you were coming into a community, establishing a new business, I think you would want to reach out to other similar-sized businesses and ask them for input. Certainly, calling an HR consulting company is one way of getting your fingers on the pulse of the community and what it's going to take to be able to attract and retain workers. You could contact the local chamber of commerce. You need to get an idea of what that particular business environment is. And there's also some online surveys that may show by geography what typical benefits are. But it's important that you're competitive in that area, because I'll tell you that from my experience, once you've got a competitive wage, health insurance, the next most important thing to your employees, or number three on that list, is their paid time off.
Hmm. And it seems like if the industry standard is fair and good for workers, then modeling new policies off of that makes a lot of sense. But if that industry standard is lacking, that's not so great to be basing new policies off of what's already in existence. Is that fair?
Well, I think where you're going to get the most up-to-date and accurate information is through your recruiting process, because you're talking to candidates that you want to hire. They're going to be discussing the benefits they currently have and then what they're going to want if they're going to join you. So recruiting and talking to candidates out there does give you a very good feel on what the current labor market is. And certainly in our experience, paid time off is very important to employees today. And, you know, again, we have an unusual workforce with, you know, sometimes five different generations working together. And especially with the younger employees, the ones under 40 is what I would say from my experience, paid time off is viewed as a very critical benefit for them.
And is there an opportunity for the employer to, certainly the employee says, you know, I do want to be able to take time for the things that I need. But can it be a workplace culture thing?
It can be. The other thing that comes up that I wanted to mention is that when you're recruiting or talking to an employer, paid time off is usually one of the things that an employer is willing to negotiate on. So if you're interviewing for a job as a machinist, for example, the company may say, well, this is my pay range and I can't exceed that, but could we work something out perhaps with a little extra vacation? Again, because it's a discretionary benefit, not a mandatory benefit, that's an area where the employer may increase the benefit in order to get that person into the company. So we see a lot of negotiations on paid time off with candidates.
And what about the Wisconsin Family and Medical Leave Act? What does that benefit entail for workers?
It basically allows them job-protected leave either for the birth or adoption of a child, an employee's personal medical condition, a medical condition of a close family member, or to care for a member of your family that's been in the military service. And that dates back to 1993. The important part of the leave is that it guarantees that your job will be held for you up to 12 weeks. However, one of the fallacies that's out there with a lot of employees is they think that that's guaranteed paid time off, and it is not. There's no requirement that the time be paid. It's just a requirement that you hold the job for them, and during the time that they're off, that they're not penalized in terms of benefits. So, for example, you can't cancel their health insurance during that 12-week period unless they don't pay their share of the premiums.
Sure, but they don't have to be paid at that time. Diane Bierstecker is with us this hour. She leads an HR consulting company in Wisconsin, and you can join our conversation about paid time off. Do you support legislation that gives all workers paid leave for personal reasons, like family illness or a new child? Are there reasons you think employees should not offer paid time off? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. I'm Keely Boltina. It's The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about PTO, paid time off, time where you're not actually at work, but you don't miss out on any pay because of it. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina. The U.S. does not have a federal policy on paid vacation, so employers aren't obligated to offer it. Have you taken time off, though, under the Family and Medical Leave Act? Did you care for a sick relative? Were you pregnant or had a serious illness? Share your story with us. 800-642-1234. Diane Bierstecker is the leader of an HR consulting company in Green Bay, working with company owners and executives on HR strategies and tactical support. And let's go ahead and go to Stacy in Fond du Lac. Stacy, welcome to the morning show.
Good morning.
Hi. What question did you have this morning?
Well, so my aunt is not legally my guardian. However, she does play the role of my mother. On paperwork, I am her power of attorney, but on paperwork, she is not my guardian from the age of 18 or younger. I am 40 now, so our relationship has grown much in the past several years. I saw how much work she had to do when my grandparents passed away. And with me being her power attorney, I thought I should get my ducks in a row in case anything were to ever happen. So I contacted our HR department asking if I would get paid funeral leave to take care of a family member who plays the role of my mother but isn't legally my mother. And unfortunately, I don't.
Stacy, thanks for sharing your story. Diane, is this something that could be more common than we realize?
When it comes to bereavement leave, it's the same category of discretionary benefits as holiday pay, sick pay, vacation pay. Each company determines how it's going to establish its bereavement pay. We work with about 240 companies across Northeast Wisconsin. And I would say that the majority of them do offer bereavement pay. And in a situation like that, from my experience, if an employee comes in and says, look, I've just lost someone who's been the equivalent of my mother, the legal status in terms of power of attorney doesn't play into it, but it's the relationship. So if you have a sympathetic employer who understands the importance of these relationships, it would not be uncommon to say, well, you know, normally for a biological parent, we'd be giving 3 to 4 days off paid. In this situation, we're going to give you 1 or 2 days off. But it is totally at the discretion of the company. The only thing that is important is if they do offer a benefit, then they need to be consistent among other similar situations with other employees. And I would say that with many of the companies I've worked with, if someone comes in and says, look, my aunt is like my mother, I'd like a couple of days off under bereavement, will you work with me? Most companies would, but it's not a legal requirement. It's at their discretion.
So there's an option for Stacy to ask more questions, but there's no requirement that they do anything differently.
Correct. And one of the things that's always good to do is be familiar with the benefits that are available at your company by checking the company employee manual or the employee handbook, because that's where the published policies are usually found. And that will tell you what the company has already agreed to do as part of their fringe benefit package.
And it sounds like Stacy's doing the right thing, too, in checking ahead of time. Knowing what that is before you're in an emergency situation could be really beneficial.
Absolutely, because it may be that if they're not able to provide a bereavement benefit, she may decide that, well, I'm going to make sure that I keep some of my paid time off available and not use it all up for vacation, because I know there's something coming up in my life where I'm going to want to have some time off to be able to be with my families and support them and grieve with them and handle this situation.
Diane Bierstecker stays with us. She's an HR consultant based in Green Bay. She assists and advises companies on employee and business challenges. And there's room for you in this discussion. 800-642-1234. Have you experienced a disability and needed to take time off? What was that like for you? Moms and dads, are your families expanding? Are you concerned about getting time off from work? Maybe you raised kids years ago. How were you treated when you had to take time away? 800-642-1234. And let's take another call now. Barbara from Lakemore, Illinois. Barbara, good morning.
Good morning. I wanted to call and share my experience. In 2009, my grandson was born, and my daughter needed some extra leave to so that she'd be able to extend her time at home with my grandson. My daughter works for the federal government. As it happens, I work for the federal government, and they have a leave sharing program. So I was able to give her some of my earned time off, and any of her co-workers that wanted to contribute could do the same thing. So she got enough leave to extend it to the point, you know, until she was ready to have my grandson, you know, be with daycare or whatever.
That must have been a relief for her, Barbara.
Oh, yes, I'm sure that it was.
Thanks. Thanks for sharing that with us. Diane, maybe beyond the federal government, I know other companies do have systems where you might be able to donate leave if someone is dealing with a medical emergency. Are there regulations surrounding that?
I'm not aware of any regulations surrounding it, but I can tell you that it is a practice we've run into regularly, where employees generally come forward saying, we know one of our coworkers is having difficulties. They need our support. I'd like to donate some vacation time. And we've advised clients on setting up a policy where it's basically anonymous because you don't want to make the employees who don't participate feel bad, but where employees can come in and say, I'd like to donate 5 hours of vacation into this hardship vacation bank. And what we typically advise, because as you know, everybody's at a different pay rate. So it's not like 5 hours of the president's time is the same as 5 hours of the janitor's time. So what companies typically do is they'll take the donated hours, translate that into a pool of dollars, and then use that to support the employees that are going through the hardship. So it's not a very common benefit, but we have seen it, especially among privately held, smaller sized companies where they have that real sense of community. I see that coming up. But I certainly applaud any company that has a culture where the employees support one another and want to do these types of things. So, but again, that's a discretionary benefit, and the company may say, well, it's very kind of you, but it's not something that we want to administer, or we don't want to get into the record keeping,
sure,
and we're not able to do it.
Let's bring in Lisa from Madison now. Lisa, what's your story this morning?
I just wanted to share a vastly different experience that I had living in England and working at the equivalent of a minimum wage job at a preschool. My adult nephew passed away while we were living there, and there was no question that I was able to fly back to the U.S. I was able to spend time with my family. I was gone for 3 weeks, and I was told that if I needed to be gone longer, that was what was important. And my job was there when I returned, and it was met with shock when I shared that would never have been considered in the U.S. And it's just a different concept of how you treat people and your attitude towards, your workers.
Thanks for sharing that, Lisa. And Diane, certainly differences among countries. And you just talked about differences in cultures for different workplaces. Kind of a similar concept.
Very definitely. And I think as several articles have shown recently, the United States definitely lags other countries in terms of paid time off and vacation time. Other companies, it's very common that you might have a several-month period of paid maternity leave or a guarantee of at least a month of holiday pay or vacation pay. But that's not something that we have within the United States.
Sure. Some companies may opt to choose to provide that, but
yes,
nobody has to.
Correct. It's totally discretionary. And as I said, a lot of times we'll get calls from employees asking, you know, those questions. It's, I've left my company and they've decided they won't pay me my vacation payout. So while we talked earlier about if you offer a benefit, you have to pay people what they're entitled to, it really means it's based off of your internal company policy. So many companies who offer vacation time do have language in there, excuse me, that says if you leave the company without giving proper notice, you forfeit the right to any accumulated vacation time.
And we'll continue talking about this with Diane Bierstecker, president of a human resources consulting company in Green Bay. She stays with us on this conversation about employee rights and employer responsibilities. I'm Keely Boltina. You're listening to The Morning Show, and we pick it up in just a few moments right here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about paid time off, who gets it, how we use it, and what employers are required to provide. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer Kent. People who make wages on the lower end or who work part-time are less likely to have paid time off. That's compared to their higher-earning workers. It's part of a report from the Center for Economic and Policy Research. And there's room for you in this discussion. Do you work full-time or part-time? What did your benefits look like? Maybe you're expanding your family or you're a member of the military. What have the discussions looked like about the time you'll need away from work? 800-642-1234 is the number to call, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Diane Bierstecker is president of a human resources company in Green Bay. She provides HR support for small and mid-sized companies, and she's talking with us today, and we want to bring in Lisa from Kenosha County to this conversation. Lisa, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. What's your experience been?
Well, in 2015, I had my daughter, and I had to take my short-term leave, and they gave me 3 weeks, and then I was able to extend it to 6 weeks, and then again to 12 weeks, and that was just my short-term disability. And I was wondering, do companies now look more into possibly giving maternity time? It's not a problem for me anymore, but for anybody else, you know.
Right, absolutely. Thanks for the question, Lisa. Diane, maternity leave and paternity leave. How are companies approaching this right now?
Well, if they're over 50 employees in size, then obviously they're subject to the FMLA rules at the federal level and Wisconsin at the state level, and there would be job-protected maternity and paternity leave.
And you have to have, is it right, you have to have worked at the establishment for a year for that to kick in, though? So there are additional parameters than just, well, you're welcoming a child, so we have to give you time off regardless.
Correct. Under federal law, well, both federal and state require that there be at least 50 employees at that company within a 75-mile radius. The federal level says you have to have worked for at least 1 year and accumulated 1,250 hours of work during that year. Under Wisconsin, it's also 1 year, but the hours requirement is lowered to 1,000 hours per year. So if you meet those thresholds, then you qualify for the job-protected time off. However, what the caller is referring to is short-term disability benefits, and that is a fairly common benefit within a company. And if there is a short-term disability insurance plan that covers employees, it must cover a maternity-related disability on the same level that it would cover a broken leg or a cancer situation or a heart attack. Maternity must be treated like any other condition. It's for whatever length of time the doctor disables you, or the length of time that the policy provides benefits, whichever is less. So 13 weeks is a very common short-term disability benefit. And in the case of a maternity, what we see most often is 6 weeks of disability pay under short-term disability insurance programs. And then if the employee wants additional time off up to the 12 weeks that they're allowed, well, once they're no longer disabled, it becomes unpaid, but they're still entitled to the time off.
Yeah, so it gets pretty complicated pretty quickly. We should note that, though, that whether it's pregnancy-related or unrelated disability, these conversations that we're having about paid time off, very different than work comp.
Oh, absolutely. What we've been talking about all along are discretionary company benefits. If a person has a work-related accident, illness, then they're governed by the work comp laws, and those are very specific in terms of the medical benefits that are available, the disability benefits that might be paid. So, for example, you could be a relatively new hire, 3 months on the job, you're injured at work, it gets turned into work comp. You would, if it's an approved claim, determined to be an appropriate one that, yes, the company has responsibility, you would have both your medical bills generally covered and usually about two-thirds of your wage paid compared to what you were earning before you were hurt.
Dave from Salem called at 800-642-1234. Dave couldn't stay with us, says he has an 18-month-old son and was written up at work because he used one of his sick days because his child was sick. Diane, can a company do this? Is it, again, based on the individual employer's policy?
It's typically based upon the individual employer's policy, if it's not an FMLA qualifying situation. So typically one random day off to take care of a sick child would normally not trigger disciplinary action, but if it's been a pattern of, you know, tardies or many days off, it could be that the company comes in and says, "I'm sorry, Dave, we're sympathetic that you have a sick son, but it's not so severe that it qualifies under FMLA or Wisconsin family leave, and you've accumulated so many absences for random things that this is too much, and we're going to write you up and impose some disciplinary action." That does happen.
Diane Bierstecker provides HR support in Green Bay, president of a human resources consulting company. I'm Keely Boltina, and you're part of this discussion. We're exploring paid time off, what employers offer, how employees cope with that. We're wondering, are you a small business owner? Can you offer employees paid time off? And how do you know what they need and what's worth it? Maybe you've needed to take time off of work. What's your experience been? Whether it's because your family was expanding or someone you knew was sick. Maybe you had a disability and needed time off. What was your experience? Share it with us at 800-642-1234. Diane, the latest information we have from the Center for Economic and Policy Research shows that lower wage workers and part-time workers get less time paid off or sometimes no time off that's paid. What's going on here?
Well, that's very common. You've got to understand that the paid time off benefits, short-term disability benefits, there's a cost associated with that. And for the entry-level workers, perhaps fast food, retail, those types of employees, generally the company cannot afford to provide those benefits or they simply choose not to. And small employers under 50 are not required to do anything in terms of job-protected time off or paid leave. Usually with part-time employees, what we see is that if they're averaging on a regular basis, say somewhere in that 20 to 30-hour range, many companies may decide to offer a prorated benefit of sick time or holiday or vacation, but again, it's not mandatory. And it depends upon, you know, is this a regular part-time position where Susie comes in Monday through Friday and works, you know, 6 hours a day versus a casual or temporary situation where we call in extra workers as we need them, then there isn't as much of a sense of an obligation to provide benefits for those casual employees, but a longer-term regular work schedule under 40, it's not uncommon to provide benefits, but they would prorate them.
People who aren't able to work full-time or who earn less money, they may already be at an economic disadvantage. Does that lack of paid time off just make it worse?
It certainly can. The other thing that goes along with that is that they may not qualify for any of the insurance benefits if they're under 30 hours a week. But there are, in Wisconsin, certainly some options in terms of whether it's Badger Care or going on the healthcare marketplace plans. But yes, the people that are on that entry-level, lower-end pay scale, they have challenges coming at them from a lot of different ways. You know, they have transportation issues. They can't afford to get the car fixed. How do I get to work? There are a lot of challenges. But in today's labor market, which is the most competitive I've ever seen it in terms of employers all vying for those same workers, that's what's driving a lot more benefits being offered in today's labor market than I've ever seen before.
And when it comes to time off, we've been talking about a lot of discretionary aspects of it. But what's required of employers when their workers need to take leave for military service? How is that different?
Well, there's a federal law called USERRA that basically says if someone is called into active duty, they serve their time as long as they reapply for employment with their former company within, off the top of my head, I don't remember if it's 30 days or 60 days or exactly what it is, but as long as they reapply timely, they would be required to be reinstated at their former level and treated as if they had never left. So, for example, you work somewhere for 2 years, you get called up for 2 years of active duty, you reapply timely, you need to be treated by that company as if you were a four-year employee and your benefits reinstated at that level.
So you don't lose out, and not necessarily the same job, but employee at that level. Diane Bierstecker is our guide. She provides HR service to company owners and businesses in Wisconsin. And we're talking about paid time off and the fact that employers don't actually have to offer any. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Share your stories. Tell us about what's happened in your work, in your life. I'm Keely Bultina. It's The Morning Show, and the conversation continues here on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Bultina. From FMLA to time for vacations or regular old sick days, we're talking about what it means to have paid time off and what happens when an employer doesn't offer you any. And there's room for you in this discussion. Do you have trouble taking your paid vacation days? What's holding you back? Or maybe you don't have any at all. How do you adjust for what life throws at you? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Diane Bierstecker stays with us. She's an HR consultant with more than 30 years of business expertise in the Green Bay area. Let's welcome Amy from Toma to the conversation now. Amy, what's your story?
Well, good morning. I am a teacher, and I have cancer, and I had used up all my sick days, and I did qualify for long-term disability, but my district reported my wages in a monthly fashion to long-term disability, which that's fine, and I knew I wouldn't get, you know, all of the pay that I normally do. I am a salaried employee. But then when I came back, when I went back to work last year, they calculated what I was owed for the rest of my salary a different way. So they used one calculation to report to long-term disability and a different calculation to, determine the remaining salary. And the two were very different. And as a result, from the time I came back until the time my contract ended, I was losing hundreds of dollars per paycheck, which resulted in thousands of dollars that I did not get paid. And this is all when I returned to work. So I'm still kind of trying to resolve that with the district. And I want to know what other steps can I take?
Amy, thank you for sharing the fact that you've been handling cancer and then trying to get through all of this on top of it. Diane, any strategy that Amy might be able to take to try to find some sort of resolution here?
Well, obviously, this is something that's not under FMLA or Wisconsin law because we're dealing with paid time off and compensation issues. The LTD benefit, I'm sure, is through an insurance company, and they would have their own calculation in terms of what's insured. So typically for LTD, for example, they would insure 60 to 70% of your pre-disability income. But as she's indicated, it may be that for a teacher it's averaged over 12 months versus yes, the 9 months of the school year. So by averaging it over 12, then you end up with a lower monthly income and a lower LTD benefit.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not uncommon, and the district is required to follow the requirements of the insurance policy because they're the ones that govern the rules. Now, in terms of her employment contract with the school district, again, they need to follow whatever the rules of that contract are and make that appropriate calculation. And if there's a difference in your mind between what you think you're entitled to and what the school district is saying, then, again, I think that's where you go in, talk to your supervising, whether that's a principal or whoever, and get an understanding from them what they think the policy is and if they're willing to support you. And then I would talk to HR or the superintendent and just see what's been done in similar situations, because the school district can establish their own rules as long as it's consistent with the contract that you signed, but they also have to be consistent.
Yeah, I think that's a really helpful point. Hopefully, Amy, that sets you on the right track. Diane Bierstecker works as an HR consultant in Green Bay, advising businesses with hiring practices. And we're talking about paid time off this hour. Let's go next to Roman in Milwaukee. Roman, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you.
Good morning. What's your question today?
Well, my wife works for a healthcare company here in Milwaukee full time, as a mid-level employee, and we're considering expanding our family, but the company she works for does not offer any short-term disability or long-term disability. Is there any recommendations for local companies or companies that may offer short-term disability, say, for example, if we're planning for a second baby?
Yeah, thanks, Roman. And I do wonder, Diane, is that something that people do, that if you know you don't have any sort of disability and you don't want to have to use all of your paid time off that's accrued for FMLA, that maybe there's a policy on the private market you could go to?
There are individual disability policies that can be purchased. And a lot of times companies will offer what they call voluntary benefits, where they'll work with an outside provider, such as Aflac. That's one, well-known company that's out there where you can add additional benefits on top of what the employer provides and they allow for payroll deduction. Unfortunately, especially the short-term disability and long-term disability policies on an individual basis are very expensive. So they're usually beyond the reach of what employees are willing to pay for that benefit on their own. Now, again, in today's labor market, once you've established the basic benefits, you know, wages, health insurance, one of our standard recommendations is that companies look towards adding life insurance and short-term disability as the next level of benefits in order to be more competitive in the market and to retain employees, because as he's indicating, this is going to be a hardship if they want to expand their family. And really, if you don't have an individual plan, the only option is to try to, you know, save up your paid time off between the two of you,
right,
and try to use that during the time that you want to be off with the baby.
And speaking of being competitive, we have Cindy in Appleton who wants to make a point. Cindy, what do you want to contribute to this conversation about paid time off today?
Well, I would just like to say that Wisconsin many years ago became a right-to-work state and joined the ranks of many other right-to-work states. And in a right-to-work state, there is no incentive for employers to offer benefits, because in a right-to-work state, the employer has all the rights, the employee has none.
Cindy, thanks for that. Diane, is that what you see, that employers don't really have an incentive? It sounds like from what you've said, the job market has kind of pushed them to try to offer things to employees too.
The job market today has pushed companies to add benefits that they would not have offered perhaps 2, 5, 10 years ago. It's simply that in order to get that new candidate in, you have to make sure that your offer is better than other companies that are trying to get them as well. And despite the fact that it's not legally required, as he's indicated, right to work state, it's still being done, because otherwise I'm going to lose my employees. I'm going to have them trained. They're going to be part of my company. But if I can't offer competitive benefits, they're going to leave. And a lot of times it might be a medical hardship that's coming up, or a baby or something that causes employees to jump ship because they can't afford to stay without competitive benefits. But everyone, I shouldn't say everyone, but the majority of our clients have added benefits over the last couple of years in order to keep their employees and bring in new ones.
Interesting. Dan, this has been a really enlightening conversation. Thank you so much for your time today.
You are welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
Certainly. Diane Bierstecker, president of Human Resources Consulting, LLC, based in Green Bay. We've been talking about paid time off, what's required, what's not, what employees can do to handle different situations. Coming up next hour, we're talking about all things model trains. Thousands are headed to Milwaukee tomorrow as Train Fest kicks off, and we're exploring what the event has to offer on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. Stay with us. I'm Keeley Boltina. It's The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.